I had a parent in one of my courses the other day. She said, everything I said, she said, won't work on 16-year-olds. Every time I turn around, won't work on 16-year-olds. And when I suggested just saying, ask your kid whether he's going to wear his coat or carry it, she said, won't work on 16-year-olds. I said, prove it. Well, the next day she came back and she stood up and she said, I got to tell all you guys in here, works on 16-year-olds. She said, my kid must be so anxious to make a choice about things that he doesn't even realize when I give him the opportunity to make the choice, he's on it that quick. She said he was walking out the door. And she said, hey, Danny. And he said, huh? What? She said, you wearing your coat tonight or carrying it? He said, oh, guess I'm carrying it. And he just went on out. We're watching television. I'd like to be able to hear the show. My kid is going bananas. He's making a lot of noise. I'd like to say to him, shut up. Have you ever looked into a kid's eyes when you say, shut up? What happens? They twinkle, don't they? Yeah. The kid says, all right, let's get it on. Here we go. In other words, the kid is now going to be in control. Because anytime we tell a kid to do something that we cannot make him do, then we give him too much control. So it might be a great place for choices, but two choices I can live with. And I always start out very nicely with, would you rather, or what would be best for you, or feel free to. And I might say to him, feel free to make all the noise you want somewhere else. Or feel free to stay here and be quiet. You decide. Now, if a kid is worth keeping, he will come up with a third choice. And we will not always like that third choice. I live here. I got rights. I can make noise. This is my house too, right? So we're going to practice a response for that. And the response, no matter what he comes up with, is going to be, what were the choices? Oh, see, we're going to take a little different tack on this one. What were the choices? And he say, yeah, but this is not fair. My friends don't have to put up with that. What do we say, everybody? What were the choices? Very soft voice. You notice the voice does not get any louder. He say, this is dumb. What do we say? What were the choices? My friends don't have to put up with this because their parents love them. What do we say now? What were the choices? Hey, you're not even supposed to be watching TV. You're supposed to be fixing the drain. I'm going to tell Mom when she gets home. What do we say now? What were the choices? Or I often say, what did I say? In a nice way. Now, most normal kids, after they hear what are the choices three or four times, say, oh, good Lord. What do I have to do to get away from this crazy adult, right? In other words, we can drive our kids crazy also, right? Foster Klein will tell you about the earliest time that you can start choices is when the kid can sit in his high chair and spit the beats, right? They will all do it. They'll go, and then they look with big eyes, right, to see what we're going to do. Now, at the Institute, we have a rule around dinner time and eating and so on, several rules. And the first one is, let's make that a happy place with as few rules as possible. Because all the battles we fight over food when the kid is young will be fought in his subconscious mind when he's old. And all of us know what we're talking about there. And the other thing is, when the few rules that we make, those few outside limits that we set, are broken, then it's child down, food up. Got that? Child down, food up. So when this kid goes and looks at us, we say, oh, goody, meal's over. Goes down on the floor. Food goes up. Run along. No words. Because the nice thing about kids and their actions like this is they'll always do it again. We'll have another opportunity. Tomorrow he's spitting. And then he's looking with big eyes. And what do we say, everybody? Oh, goody, meal's over. Child down, food up. Now, a lot of people say, well, I couldn't do that. I say, why? He'll throw a fit. Well, of course he'll throw a fit. If he's worth keeping, he'll throw a fit. Who wants to have a wimpy little kid who won't try to get his way? Now, a fit doesn't mean that the adult has to fall apart.
Jim, let's go over those three basic rules again.
Sounds like a good idea. As I think about it, this tape will be of no value to anybody if people go home and have to hope and pray that the same examples come up in their home that came up on the tape. Mm-hmm. What we need to do is give everybody a process where they can figure out how to solve the next little problem that comes along that just doesn't seem to fit. So first one again, we're going to make sure that we take good care of ourselves by telling what we're going to do instead of what the kid has to do. Second rule, whenever possible, make sure that the kid has to make some choices, some alternatives. Would you rather do it now? Would you rather do it later? Would you rather do this? Would you rather do that? But always the choices will come out so that no matter which way the kid chooses, the parent is going to be deliriously happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the third one, if there's a lesson to be learned, it will probably only be learned when there's an equal balance between the amount of consequence that the kid faces and the amount of sorrow that the parent expresses for the kid.